Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I'm a feminist, but I don't want to get married, but I do want to be a figurine on a cake. And I don't know how I can make that happen without getting married.
Okay, I feel I'm going to make it happen for you. Do you have a birthday coming up?
I do, in June. I can't make June? My own figurine for me. Okay. I know, I'm so excited. I'm enthusiastic about June.
Okay, what date in June? Is it rude to ask that?
Nah, it ain't. It's unfortunately, it's the 14th of June. Now, okay. About 6 years ago, I'm very proud of that day. I was like, same birthday as Steffi Graf. But now Trump, I mean, he always had that birthday, but I never knew when his birthday was. But his birthday is the 14th of June.
Oh, shit. You've got Trump's birthday. Okay. Like, the Queen has two birthdays. I believe, Alison Spittle, you are our Queen in many ways. You can have a second birthday. And I say that birthday should be the 22nd of June.
Perfect. We'll write that down.
So, 22nd of June, I feel like we'll be allowed to be together.
Yes.
So, I'm going to get you a cake. Is it any kind of significant birthday?
No, unfortunately.
Okay,
no.
Well, it doesn't matter. It is. Do you know why it's significant? Because you're allowed to be in a room with other people.
Yeah, and I'm also going to pretend it was the birthday from 2 years ago. Because last birthday didn't count. We're in lockdown.
No, absolutely.
This birthday just about doesn't count.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get a cake and I'm going to put you on the top. Do you want anyone with you on the top?
No, I'll just have myself. Put me in a nice dress.
Okay.
Put me in a nice dress and a packet of Quavers.
Okay, it's going to be you between Steffi Graf and Donald Trump.
Cool. Don't move his birthday as well. Leave his birthday on the 14th of June.
Fair.
22nd is for me.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to make that happen. I'll put a note in the diary. I'm a feminist, but on a recent Guilty Feminist episode, I complained that a listener had tweeted that if they were going to get out the old laminated card and dabble outside their marriage specifically with a guilty feminist crush, they wouldn't be able to decide whether to go for Grace Petrie or Tom Selinski. Now, can you imagine how offended I was? Not even to be in the mix. I mean, really upsetting.
So I
complained about this on the podcast, saying that, you know, obviously I would be beginning legal proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
And the poor person who tweeted it was like, no, it's just that I'm very similar and, you know, to them and blah, blah, blah.
Were they I just respect you too much to fantasize about you because I don't buy that, Deborah.
This is my problem all the time. People do respect me too much to fantasize about me and it's a terrible problem. That is literally what one of my friends said, that they respect you too much. And I was like, wow, that's hot. Respect is so hot. And I was like, no, it is. But it also,
yeah. You know, I'd love to see like a People magazine, like top 100 most respected people. You know,
least fancied because most respected. I would definitely make that list. And then, so I am delighted to say that several people on Twitter have popped their head above the parapet and come right out with it and said that I would be their top celebrity guilty feminist crush. the laminated card of friends. And they're not, they, I mean, they didn't specifically say they weren't interested in Tom Selinsky and Grace Petrie, but that's how I read it.
That is they claim crush monogamy to you and you alone.
They basically said, yeah, that you're the one, and made me feel good with some good old fashioned objectification, which I really need in lockdown because I was starting to feel invisible, I'm not gonna lie.
Deborah, I won't lie, I'm missing that. Like, one of my I'm a feminist buts, right, was I'm a feminist but I'm finding it hard to write I'm a feminist buts because I've been in the house so long and I don't get catcalled in the house. And then then I was writing my jokes and I was my boyfriend passed by and he said, what are you up to? And I said, well, I'm writing I'm a feminist buts. And he said, I love your feminist butt. And I was like, yeah, thank you, baby, objectifying me. So I feel very happy.
That is nice. That is nice.
Yeah.
Raya, do you have an I'm a feminist butt?
I'm a feminist, but I'm also a hopeless romantic and I only really write love songs.
That's nice.
Lovely. We love that. Feminism is allowed to be romantic, but I would suggest you just try your hand at one angry political rant
song.
Yeah,
exactly. I've got to get one out there, you know. I always feel like I need to do like a feminist power song.
Yes.
Coming. It's the next one. It's on the next album, I promise.
And Grace Petrie, if you're listening, I'm so sorry. I am telling Raya to step right on your turf. Right on your folky protesting turf. I can hear Grace Petrie is a feminist, but I can hear her saying, tell her to stick to romance. She just told you that's what she does. Why are you getting her to pro-? No, she would never say that. She would say, we need more people protesting, more feminism, she would say. I'm a feminist, but last week I got to leave the house to do a photo shoot for work. And in the middle of it, I just stopped the whole thing and went, I'm just so excited to be touched. Because the hair and makeup people were like, you know, when they come up to you while between photos and they sort of dab at you and sort of, you know, put things back in place and tease your hair. And I just suddenly realized I'd missed being touched so much. But it was just incredible to be pretty. I was in a low place and I came back feeling radiant and touched, but also my eyeliner was so on point. And you know what? I'm a feminist, but I didn't wash my face all weekend because I kept the makeup on. 48 hours. They put on those little eyelashes on you, you know, when you put those little separate single false eyelashes on.
Yes.
And they sort of wore off little by little, but there was no way I was pulling them off because I was feeling so glamorous.
You know,
so
I've tried those. I'd like to.
Oh, they're great.
I am very committed to Lola's Lashes Official. I talk about them all the time. You put on this liquid eyeliner and it's magnetic and then you just pop the eyelash on. They don't pay me to say this, by the way. This is not a paid advert. I just love them and talk about them because it makes me extremely happy. And this is a real I'm a feminist butt. I'm a feminist butt. I read I feel bad telling you this, but I'm a feminist butt. I read a magazine article once saying that the only thing men can notice is eyelashes. They just, you know, you spend all this time on makeup and hair and stuff and they're like, hey, you look the same. But eyelashes, they think you look more attractive. They don't know why. They can't see what it is. I mean, I'm talking about straight men. I'm talking about very, very, very straight cis men who it just all of the grooming goes over their head. But they can see eyelashes. They go, oh, yeah, she looks pretty like that. I don't know why. And so I'm a feminist, but I do, if I need a boost, I do think I look pretty with eyelashes, more eyelashes.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Like them to feel soft and like strokeable rather than like upright and stark. I think I read like a similar article about the importance of eyelashes. So I'm always like trying to get my eyelashes to stick up really boldly, but be also soft and not like hard with mascara, which is actually, I think it's impossible.
That is impossible.
Yeah. I mean,
is this what men want? Do men want them to be soft and stiff?
This is where I'm going wrong. I'm a full-time glasses wearer, so I find it difficult to wear false eyelashes, but maybe this is where I'm going wrong.
Can I just back up here? Fuck what men want. Men want me to look like I've got way more eyelashes than I have. They want them to be stiff and upright, but also soft and tender. Exactly. Well, do you know what? I also want a penis to be stiff and upright and soft and tender, and it's only one of those things at any one time. So they can fuck the fuck off. I've taken it back. Nobody try hard for men at all. That's outrageous. No. I'm embarrassed to have ever said it.
No, that was great. I think men just essentially want cows, though, because cows have incredible eyelashes. Have you seen them as animals? They look beautiful. Like if I could swear down, next time you look at a cow, Deborah, look it in the eye, beautiful eyelashes, like a beauty queen.
They also have massive tongues.
They do, and men love that as well. You see, is it. We cannot compete with curves.
This is a real What Men Want segment, and I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed. This is meant to be a feminist podcast.
They want four stomachs. They want hooves. That's what they want.
More impossible beauty standards for women. Four stomachs. Four stomachs, but it's got to look flat.
Yes!
Oh, we want to see the abs, but four stomachs inside so that you can have four different meals in four different pubs and not complain. Well, I want you to eat chips, but also have a flat stomach. No. Do you know what? Forget what men want. I'm not interested. I'm only interested in what I want / women and people of minority genders want. That's it. It's over. has anyone got any more I'm a Feminist Buts?
I'm a Feminist But, when I did a full-on piece about anti-gypsyism and sexism, I was most bothered about a man in the comments who singularly referred to me as eyebrows.
Wow.
How unbelievably human of you to be.
You know, so many people would kill for your eyebrows, though. Like, I know this is a podcast, but, like, you have incredible brows.
Mm. Like, honestly.
They are incredible.
Some bloke. Do you know what I mean? I was just like, oh, what do I do about that, though? Like, you know, I can't really kind of tape them down.
Your eyebrows are very on fleek, though. They're very on trend.
They're
to
incredible.
Have,
to,
you have a
They're
remarkable
incredible.
Brow.
Thank you. I used to have a fringe and I forgot I had eyebrows for about 4 years and then I got rid of it.
Then they reappeared.
I'm a feminist, but I'm also a Romany woman and I get the impression sometimes that that blows people's minds.
Mm.
What, people think you can only be one or the other?
I believe, yeah. I think Romany women tend to be depicted in the media as these one-dimensional human beings who don't really have a Brit's depth of emotions or experiences. So, I would say I'm a feminist, but I'm also a Romany woman.
I'm a feminist, but today I ate some pasta that was called Truly Pasta, the shape of it. It's like a female condom, basically. I was looking at it and I was a bit skeezed out by it. And then I was thinking, why am I not skeezed out by the many phallic bits of food that I eat all the time? Like, Why? When I saw female contraception to me, I was like, not sure. It was so tasty. It was really good. But I had to...
Oh, yeah, right. Because there's lots of things like sticks and things like that, like breadsticks.
Breadsticks, hot dogs, ice lollies. I mean, I blush when I eat all of it, but don't stop me. They are tasty.
Bananas.
Bananas. My residual Catholicism still hasn't stopped me enjoying phallic food. Like, that's the way I feel. Bananas? What else? There's got to be more.
Oh, there's lots of things. Lots of things are in a... Yeah, now that you say it, more food is in a phallic shape than is not.
Yeah. Actually, do you know what? We should get more vagina-shaped food, I think.
Listen.
That will help with the patriarchy.
If that's your passion project for 2021, Alison, I will back it.
That is. More pita pockets. That's what I'm saying.
What about
less
slices?
Hot dogs, more pita pockets.
Pizza pockets?
Yeah.
Morrison's do quite a good pizza pocket.
Oh, this is good. This is good.
Yeah,
stuff.
Recommendations.
Or like
They're
a cake
nice.
Slice is a nice V shape as well. Mm. That's quite handy.
That's true. And I think I said this on the podcast before, but in Ireland we have this biscuit. It's like very pink and puffy. Got like pink puffy lines. It looks very much like a vagina, to be honest with you.
But what about a cream donut? One of those donuts that have a split down the middle and then you pipe the cream in and then you put a little bit of jam where the clitoris is.
You see, there we go. Actually, look, I think we're perfectly fine. The patriarchy, we've taken it back. We got the best types of food. They might have hot dogs, but we got those lovely jam donuts.
Damn, I want a donut now. From a variety of bedrooms and kitchens via Zoom, The Spontaneity Shop presents The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White, guest co-host Alison Spittle, and our very special guests Lola Jones and Lisa Smith, with music from Raya Knight, talking about Romany women. Woo! Yeah! Woo! You have to facsimile an audience. This is The Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and the hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them. I'm Deborah Frances White. With me is Alison Spittle, and we're talking about Romany women. We have some incredible guests today, Alison.
Yes.
Tell me, do you know anything about Romany women?
I don't know much about Romany women, to be honest with you. I know Irish travellers, but they're different people, but they're yeah, so basically I know nothing about Romani women and I'm excited to learn today.
Okay. So, yeah. All right. So yesterday our government announced that there would be an easing of lockdown because the vaccine program has worked in Scotland. It's 85% or 95% successful, depending on which vaccine you take. So there are 95% fewer, 85 to 95% fewer hospitalizations. And this means if we do vaccinate our whole population, coronavirus will become something more like a flu, which is manageable, and NHS will not be so overloaded. And I just saw, this is for the official government calendar, on the 8th of March, you will be able to get drunk with one friend in a park.
Yes.
On the 29th of March, you'll be able to get drunk with five other people in your garden.
Wonderful.
If you had a garden, which is London, lol. April 12th, you'll be able to get drunk in a pub garden with five other people. Come on.
Oh,
17th of May, you'll be able to get drunk inside the pub with five other people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what does it matter if you know the five people or not? The other people are just sitting right behind you. That's whatever. I suppose they've got to make the rule somehow. 21st of June, this meme that I was just sent says, book week off work, get really drunk inside or outside, both, hug everyone and tell them that you love them.
Aww. Deborah, when am I going to be able to sniff a stranger's armpit? That's what I want to know. That's when I feel this pandemic to be fully finished. I can't wait.
It doesn't say on the chart. It's not clear. But I reckon June 21st, you will be in a pub trying to order a drink, and I reckon the pub will be absolutely rammed. I think we should be careful, though. I don't think we should just launch ourselves in the way that this meme is suggesting. I think we do need to be...
Oh, we're definitely taking it with a pinch of salt. My dad got his vaccine today, which I'm super excited about.
Exciting.
Yeah. And the family WhatsApp group is just, it's like he's graduated or something. We're all just going, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And Granddad got his vaccine injection a few weeks ago. So, I mean, there is hope. I know it's hard because hope has been something that we've kind of held and then it's been taken away and then held and then taken away. But I think the thing I've learned from this whole lockdown and pandemic is never let anything take away your optimism, because that is your humanity. And I am optimistic about June, no matter what happens. At least the weather will be nicer.
The weather will be nicer. And I reckon it's definitely going to be, I mean, it's got to be better than now, because if Scotland has had around 90% fewer hospitalizations and we get vaccinated, it's going to be the same. So it's got to be. I reckon we're going to be in a theatre. I'm going to hear the orchestra tuning up.
Yeah.
People are going to be rustling. I honestly don't think we're going to take things for granted.
No.
For at least 6 weeks. And then we're back to complaining about someone at the cinema stand. He stood on my foot and he didn't even apologize.
Yes.
Why are they rustling sweets? There's no... If that guy doesn't get off his phone, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something. I'm not going to say something, but I want to say something. I'm going to say something. that'll be 6 weeks in. But for that first 6 weeks, I think we'll just be so high and loved up on humanity that we will find other people's annoying qualities endearing.
Definitely. Definitely. So. I can't wait.
I'm very excited. Our first guest is a Romani activist currently volunteering between the UK and Hungary. She is a co-founder of the Diclo Collective, which provides free cultural packages to Romani and traveller people globally, and is a co-founder of Traveller Pride, which is an LGBT plus Romani and traveller campaign and support group. Please welcome Lolo Jones!
Woo!
Hello, Lolo. Why? Our second guest is a global leader for young children at the World Forum Foundation and chair of ASSERT, the Advisory Council the Education of Romani and Other Travellers. Through her role as editor and project manager at the Traveller Times, Lisa supports young Gypsy and Traveller people through our journalism, training and information programmes. Please welcome Lisa Smith!
Woo!
Yeah.
Go on, gal.
Also joining our conversation is Raya Knight. Now, Raya is really here to close with music, but we can't resist introducing her into the chat as well. So Raya Knight is a singer-songwriter and actress currently based in Berlin. Of dual heritage, British Romani descent, Raya grew up surrounded by the Romani activist movement through which she was both politicised and given a platform to perform. Please welcome Raya Knight!
Woo! Woo!
So Lola, tell us about why you wanted to come on the podcast.
Well, I mean, I was in Budapest at the time and I just realised that there's a lot of intersectional dialogue happening right now in feminism, and that Romani women were completely excluded from that conversation, despite having, I think, such terrible treatment across Europe. You know, I think it takes something that when the ONS did a recent study on, you know, hated groups within Europe, Romani people were so widely put as one of the top ones. You know, there's been over 500 pogroms or mass massacres of Romani people over the past 5 years. When I was in Budapest, our Holocaust memorial was desecrated by far-right activists that just put die gypsies over the top. And there was actually far-right groups outside Roma Parliament, you know, with flare guns shouting about how all gypsies should die and actually pulling women by the hair off the street.
Oh, my God.
You feel so powerless when you come from that community because you don't have the solidarity from mainstream feminist white, what I would say, gorgia, as in non-travel or non-Romani movements. And you're left on a limb. And that frustration ended up putting like a little narked off comment really late at night on like the guilty feminist group. And then like 10 minutes later, I got a message request from Deborah. and I was kind of like, oh my gosh, you know, what's going on? But it just stemmed from that. Like, I can't tell you how bad it is also being there. And that's coming from someone who's a white passing Romani person, you know. I don't experience colorism that a lot of Romani women do who live in Hungary. And it's literally just every day. I go out in very traditional clothes. You get yelled at on the bus. You get yelled at in the street. You get people following you around places, following you around shops, you know, restricting your rights at every point and center. And it's so out in the open. Our history also hasn't been recorded by us. It's been taken and exploited by white upper class academics who've come into communities, taken from us and been able to amass huge wealth and credit from that. Like, our history is very much oral history. And there's that aspect to it as well.
Wow. Lisa Smith, can we bring you in? You're the manager at the Traveller Times. How much of what Lolo is experiencing is something that you think systemic and you're trying to fight?
I think, especially over the last year and a half, we've seen during the COVID pandemic, I suppose, particularly, kind of fan the flames of racism or hostility towards stigmatised groups in society, because I think people are looking to cast blame to particular groups. But I mean, I agree with Flo and I just can echo that, I guess. I'm currently based in Berlin, working on a podcast called Smith's Kushti Podcast, and that's looking at issues related to Romani history, culture and identity, and then bringing them in and connecting them with current issues and news. And the Romani word for Kushti, the English Romani word for Kushti means good. And a lot of this is interesting because a lot of people presumed it was just some type of Cockney slang, because we hear the likes of Del Boy and Rodney and Danny Dyer on EastEnders saying it. But what a lot of people don't realise is that this is an ancient Romanical word that dates back hundreds of years. But basically on this podcast, we're looking at far-right extremism at the moment and the rise in that, particularly in Germany. And I was having a chat the other day because there was an incident in Hanau. It was a terror attack where a neo-Nazi shot 9 people. 3 of those included were actually Romani. So that was in the news a lot, and we created a podcast around that and speaking to people who were friends of victims. What we often have is, for example, if there's a particular documentary on TV, like The Truth About Traveller Crime, I don't know if you guys got to watch that, but it was particularly damaging in the sense of, like, during a worldwide pandemic, when, you know, Romani people and travellers are part of the local communities that they live in and are supporting and helping. And we basically had a documentary that depicted us as criminals, and I quote Andrea Celius, an MP who actually compared us to, what did he say, we are criminal gangs and increasingly violent. But there's 6 million Romani women in Europe, and as a whole population of people were Europe's largest ethnic minority. I think, I mean, a good example working at Travellers Times is we will sometimes, I'll open the inbox and if there has been a news article that's gone out or somebody's seen something they don't quite like about Romani travellers or whatever, we'll get emails to our inbox saying things like, these people should be exterminated. How can you support this? Why don't you ever report on the negative?
Oh my God.
But the main reason we exist is to challenge negative stereotypes in mainstream society and give Romani and traveller people a platform and voice to tell their side of the story and to celebrate the positivity that we rarely, seldom get to hear.
Well, tell me the joy of being Romani.
Having close family values, having a rich culture and tradition that dates back in Britain over 500 years, having a really strong history of music and oral history. And something that I'm very proud of as a Romani woman is that even though our language was never officially documented, that we still have managed to keep it.
Wonderful. Raya, can you speak to this? Because you are Romani and a musician. What's the joy? What's the fun stuff? What's the funny stuff?
Well, yeah, I second what Lisa said. I'm dual heritage and I grew up with a very strong awareness and an interest in my Romani background. And for me, it has always been something of pride and of celebration. And throughout my life, I'm lucky to have been given many different creative and artistic opportunities to explore my Romani identity. So for example, with me, like I'm blonde, I'm white skinned. People often think that I'm like Scandinavian or something. And when I first came to Berlin, it was to work on this project called The Roma Army, which was a theatre show at the Maxim Gorky Theatre. And that was in 2017. And it was the first time ever that there had been a show with Romani actors from across Europe telling their own stories on a national stage. Like, we'd never been given that opportunity before. And I think that really like speaks to the level of exposure that we're given on a public platform. Often for me, it wasn't the first thing that came up in conversation, like my Romani heritage. It doesn't like just fall out of the ether normally. But people would say, oh, why are you in Berlin? Like, what are you doing here? And I'd say, oh, I'm working on this project, la la la. And they'd be like, what? But you don't look Roma. And I'm like, okay, well, what does a Roma look like? And they're like, well, you don't have Roma eyes. You don't have a Roma face. You don't have Roma hair. You don't, I don't know. And then, or they'd start saying, oh, you're a gypsy. Okay, I knew because you bewitched me with your power.
Oh my God.
So either way, you start getting these, like, people just start like spurting these racist stereotypes at you, whether they're telling you that you're not a gypsy because they know more about it than you and you're telling them that's your ethnic identity, or they're doing some sort of romanticized, very damaging, overly sexualized stereotype at you as well. It's almost like an existential issue. Like, you spend your whole time trying to explain your existence to people before you can even really have a conversation about the racism that they're kind of throwing at you. You have to first explain the fact that you exist.
In Ireland, politicians have got away with anti-traveller sentiment and being very open with it, and have got a lesson on the back. And politicians in the UK do it too. My dad is from England, my mum is from Ireland. And in both countries, I find that the political system has always been against Romani people and travellers, and they're quite open with it and it suits them politically. What I try to do is, if I see a politician that's tweeting about it, or if they've got a weird newsletter about that, call them out on it. Like, write to them and go, I'm not going to vote for you. I wasn't going to probably vote for you anyway, but I'm definitely not now. And to make it not a political viable thing for people to be openly racist. I mean, it should be done anyway.
Agreed. MPs do care about that. MPs do care about what gets them votes. So the more you can write to your MP about these things, the more it matters.
Unfortunately, it's not a vote winner to be seen to be openly supporting us. Actually, it's a vote loser. And this is the biggest thing. But the other issue is that a lot of politicians don't view Romani or traveller people as their constituents, even though there are people rooted in many different parts of the country who have got a real long-standing connection and probably have lived in that one area for hundreds of years. But there is a small, but there is a wave and a movement of very active, young Romani, Gypsy and traveller people who are politically involved and politically campaigning, So that brings much positivity to me, because we are there and we're visible, and we just need to keep raising our voices in order to be.
And especially feared. In places like Berlin, where they founded the European Roma Institute for Arts and Culture, which is really joining a lot of dots and is collaborating with a lot of community-based grassroots organizations, which have been doing a lot of work for years and years now. And they're run by two women who are both very strong feminist figures and are incredibly qualified for what they do. I feel like they're bringing Roma arts and culture into the forefront with the work that they're doing.
We've got a lot of listeners in Berlin, funny enough. So,
do you?
So if you're listening and you're in Berlin, please try and support that. Is there anywhere else we can donate? Any young people's activist efforts we can donate to? Lolo, especially the LGBTQ stuff, where can we donate?
Yeah, so Traveller Pride do have a donation link. There's also a Romani fundraiser that we've linked on our Diclo Collective page for the Italian Roma that have been kicked out of their homes and have nothing, don't no access to school or anything. We have a link to that PayPal. Also, our project, the Diclo Collective, which provides free packages to Romani and Traveller people worldwide. There's also the ERRC, which is the European Roma Rights Centre.
We can put the links in the show notes. And just if you're listening and you're Googling, Diclo is spelled D-I-K-H-L-O.
And it's a Roman word.
What does it mean?
It's for a headscarf in a particular like pattern. I'm wearing one now, not worn obviously in a proper way, but they're very floral. They can also be paisley as well.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Lisa, do you know the way you were talking about kushti earlier? Is there any other Romani words that are used within the...
We trace our language back through, we know we originate from Northern India because we trace back our heritage through our linguistics. For example, a word that we'd use for house would be care, which is very similar to as in Sanskrit. So we can really trace it back to the very early stages through linguistics. But I'll give it over to you girls if you want to highlight some other words that are commonly used.
Well, I think something to remember is that there's about 27 different dialects of Romanes, or the Romani language, that are spoken today. And also it's one of the last Indo-Aryan languages that exists that doesn't have a formalised alphabet or spelling system. So there's no official way of spelling words. So in that sense, there's a lot of inclusivity around it. I don't know if Raya wants to add in anything interesting.
I'm trying to think of ones that are in, like, the Romani words that have been, like, adopted into English. Like, wonga. Uh-huh. I think wonga's one for money.
Yeah.
And lollipop is apparently a Romani word as well, which is funny. And then
that's
we have
amazing.
Words, like, commonly in England, most Romani speak pogadi jib, which translates as broken tongue, and is like a creole of the Romani language, which is basically, like, the Romani words but used in an English grammar structure. And it's kind of, like... It's much more because people quite often in England anyway, people don't speak the language fluently that often anymore because it was banned like in the, I don't know, 16th century or something. You could be murdered for speaking Romanes. So that legacy that lives on. Yeah. Not to say that some people don't speak it, of course, but I grew up with my mum like referring to like certain things in Romanes, like the yog for the fire, or the juk is the dog. Yeah, I don't know. There's loads. Tuvla for tobacco.
That's such like homely words as well.
I've summarised my picturesque childhood.
Nice atmosphere.
Fire, stroking the dog. Love it.
Yeah.
I need to think of something cutting edge here now. Wait.
I think something that's important to know,
lovely.
Though, also
it's
just
lovely.
To add in, like a bit wider than the subject of Romani people, but just to understand there's a lot of different groups within the UK that come under these different categories of GRT, which is like Gypsy Roma Traveller. You have like Roma communities from like the Balkans, you have Scottish travellers, you have Irish travellers, you have Welsh Romani people that have their own dialect, you have Sinti people, you have Bargi folk who like traditionally lived on boats, you have the Shoman community. And all of that, like there's a lot of diversity. And I think this comes down to the issue of how the media has historically, it has a lot to answer for, to be honest with you. Like My Big Fat Gypsy Weddings is the racial caricature that we have to live against. And it shows no diversity. People don't talk about how the show exploited families that were financially struggling and told them what to say and what to do and how to put across their identity, orchestrated situations. It's not representative of the lived reality of Romani and wider traveller people. We're such diverse communities that are so different in culture. And this is the thing with like Channel 4 and stuff is now they try and give us this ruse of being there for equality. But then when our own community members go in for like a diversity watch and tell them about problems in it, they then say, oh, we can't make any changes. Oh, that's just how it is. Or they come into our communities, take photos of us, and then they get celebrated for taking pictures of us. And it's like, well, that's not the diversity. The diversity is having Romani and traveller photographers or people getting paid for their time who are from the community making these changes. And I think that that's something to add. Oh, and something I do want to say as well about something beautiful about Romani culture is as a plus size woman, you're very restricted often in general with your shops. You have Evans's and everything's all bland and dark and you're just restricted to being like a shapeless like fridge. And it's like, you know, when you go into like traditional clothing, like what I'm wearing today, it's bold and you're not restricted on any sizing whatsoever in like what you can express yourself with. So like, for example, I make a point of buying specifically from Romani businesses, getting traditional garments, usually from Balkan Roma people. And, you know, there's this whole wave of like, you're also not body shamed either as Romani women for wearing these clothes and exemplifying yourself. Like, that's something, and that's something I struggle with in mainstream society. You know, when I go out, the amount of times I get called like a fat, ugly bitch by like some bloke on the street. But when I go back into my community space, I'm celebrated and loved. And the clothing that I want to wear isn't restricted on the basis of my size or what's considered beautiful. So,
fascinating stuff and very, very, so much to think about.
And just on that point, Deborah, if anybody is looking to find out more about what these words are and what it consists of, Gypsy, Roman and Traveller, Traveller's Times made a short, just really accessible animation that explains just that.
And can we do a link in the show notes to that?
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Hello, Guilty Feminist. This is Deborah. Some of you may have heard on BBC Radio 4 this week my new series, Deborah Frances White Introduces. It's five stories from five storytellers, just 15 minutes each. I gave everyone the prompt, The Devil You Know. Mine is first, it's a bit of an I'm a feminist but story about a woman running off to do something daring and reckless. The other storytellers, who all told stories from their real lives, are Travis Alabanza, Scarlett Curtis, Steve Alley, and Jessica Foster-Cue. They are all completely stunning. And you know all of those people from the podcast. Mark of quality, gang. So go to BBC Sounds and listen now. If you are craving more Guilty Feminist live streaming after the last show that we did, don't worry, we've got you covered. On Monday, the 19th of April, we'll be recording an episode of the podcast. And although you can't be with us in person to clap and cheer, laugh and cry, you can join us via the magic of the internet by buying a ticket for the live stream. Your ticket gets you an instant live audio and video connection to everything that goes on while we're recording, including all the best bits that get cut out of the final podcast. And you can comment along via the chat and maybe have your contribution read out or your question answered. And if you can't be there live because it's the middle of the night where you are, you can get access to the video for 72 whole hours. So it's The Guilty Feminist at King's Place, 7:30 p.m. UK time on Monday, the 19th of April. To get your tickets, go to kingsplace.co.uk or follow the link on guiltyfeminist.com. And just a word for British listeners to say the policing bill that we talked about last week in the podcast that we would love to kill, and if we can't, we must amend. Do you remember us talking about the fact that it is in part designed to make life more difficult for travelling populations and to give the police greater powers to move on Romani people and travellers who are nomadic? Do you remember that? Well, this episode on Romani women was recorded before we knew about the policing bill.
So our guests have asked us, could we mention to you how important it is to fight this bill? And if it can't be killed, to make sure the amendments don't allow life to be made even harder for Romani women and all travelling people. Thank you. And now back to the podcast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Now, I want to come to Raya now because it's time for some music. Raya, you are a singer-songwriter, as we said. You made your first step into theatre, working for Berlin's Maxim Gorky Theatre. In 2019, you worked with the grassroots organisation Roma Trial to co-found the project Romna Jazz, which aimed to highlight the profiles of Roma and Sinti women making music in Berlin. This first release of Raya's personal work is an intimate reflection of her time in Berlin, and it's going to be out in March 2021. Raya, are you ready to take it away and give us some beautiful music?
Oh, God. Yeah, I'll do my best. So as this was an episode about Romani women, I wanted to sing a traditional Romani song for you today, which is not what I would normally do in one of my gigs. But actually, as we talked about earlier in this episode, like the Romani history is still mostly not written. And it's a history that we largely tell through song. And we have a very strong oral tradition of song. And because of that, we've kind of become the song keepers, I would say, in the UK, because we're now some of the last people that sing these old traditional folk ballads. And they're often sung a cappella. And that's how I started out singing. I started singing a cappella because I was always encouraged at these events as a small child to sing. And there's very much a cultural tradition where if you're invited to sing, like, you stand up and you sing, you don't say no, there's no time to be shy. So I wanted to sing a song by Phoebe Smith, who was a Kentish Romani singer, and she spent her summers hop picking in Kent, just like my nan. So I wanted to sing this as a tribute to her and to all the keepers of British Romani history and heritage.
Please welcome to the mic Raya Knight. Woo!
I thought she was an angel bright, come tripping down so low, the same kind sir, I'm a country girl, and modest to me she plied, and I daily labored for my bread down by the tanyard side. She's the neatest little country girl that my two eyes did see, and she'd make a man a bonny bride down by the 10-yard side. So red and rosy were her cheeks, and coal black was her hair, and her two pretty eyes like diamonds shine as her hands curse through her hair. It is 12 long months since first we met, so early in the spring, when the small birds they do whistle and the nightingales do sing, and if I'll make that girl my bride, and I'll roll her in my own arms down by the 10-yard side.
Wow, that was stunning.
Woo! That was beautiful.
Ryan Knight, everybody. That was so unbelievably beautiful. That was really wonderful. Thank you, Raya. And where can we find your music?
Yeah, so my first EP is coming out at the end of March. That's the plan at the moment. It's called Night in Neukölln, and it is a reflection of my time living in that area of Berlin. And it was written during a residency that I did with Roma Trial, who are a Berlin-based Romani grassroots activist organization. And it's quite like I feel like it's quite intimate EP. It's all quite like raw tracks that are not like very produced, and I'm really excited to get it out in the world, and it'll be on all the, you know, streaming platforms that you can desire.
I'd love to know, like, Lola and Lisa, what kind of documentary would you like to be made? What would you call it? Because the Channel 4 documentary, like, just by the name of it, just seems like a heap of shit.
I'm also a filmmaker, and at the moment, tying up this documentary, that's looking at and that's exploring how Romani women's identity is represented in the media, looking at documentaries like this, and the impact that it has on women's everyday lived realities and how people perceive them. And when I've spoken to women, one of the things that have come out of it is that, you know, film and TV is so powerful because it's got the power to represent people. It's a political undertaking, no doubt. Unfortunately, what we've seen across film and TV is this very narrative, one-dimensional version of what a Romani woman is or what Romani womanhood actually is. So, for example, My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding objectifies women in a massive way and puts out this singular narrative that all we care about is getting married and being a housewife. That's not to undermine that role, and I think if that's your choice, then that should be celebrated and very much accepted. But the issue is that we see Romani women through documentaries like this be made into a spectacle or something to be laughed at. And I don't think people should care or have so much curiosity about the way a Romani woman decides to live her life as a human being. And something that's brilliant with working at Travellers Times is just seeing the diversity of Romani women, people working in shops, people working as nurses, people working as lawyers, you know, people working as makeup checkout assistants. It is just so diverse. Artists,
it's almost
actresses,
like they're people,
academics.
And do all the things people do.
This is exactly what I was getting at. It's this just dehumanising narrative that we've got. And if you look at mainstream press, the first thing that tends to come into people's heads when we hear gypsy or traveller is front page spread, the Sun, look at my neighbours that have just turned up at unauthorised encampments. But we really need to push through this narrative because We're Britain's one of Britain's most long-standing ethnic minorities. And I think we really do need to push past the perception that, you know, unauthorised camps, traveller caravans, because as well, only a small percentage of people are living a nomadic lifestyle. And we need to go back to the ethnicity, because we are an ethnic group of people. And I think people just sometimes think that to be a Romani person or to be traveller of Irish heritage, that it's a lifestyle choice. And then they see us as this type of social problem. When actually, it's your ethnicity. It doesn't matter where you live, whether I'm in an apartment here in Berlin or a site living in a caravan in the West Midlands.
So whether it's the casual racism of conversation or quite violent and structural racism that Lolo talked about, you're dealing with that all the time. What can we as feminists do to help and to change this?
Well, I think what you're doing, bringing us into the conversation, is a really amazing start. So...
great. Okay.
Representation matters.
Yeah, no, it really does. It really does. And it's just sort of accessibility and putting it into people's minds. But what else can we do, Lolo?
It's a lot of things. I think people need to confront the notion of what they've done to our community systematically in terms of anti-gypsyism. I think everyone who's listened to this will know within their local communities how they react. It's about reparations to communities. Like, there was a history of Romani slavery in the UK and wider Europe. We lost a quarter of our population in the Holocaust. We continue to be systematically oppressed and not enjoy the benefits that everyone does, even on a local level. You know, in my local area, there's been a massive hate crime on a site here where there's people just been spray painting on trailers saying, "Die, gypsy, if you move here, we'll kill you." And there's been no action on that. Nothing from all the local people, nothing from local progressive movements. You can make calls all day out of my personal time and labour, and nothing comes from it. And it's also not just checking in and checking out of it. This is an ongoing conversation, because my issue is in LGBT activism. I go to events and everyone gets exuberated because I'm this like funny talking working class woman. And they're like, "Ooh, that's fun to listen to. She's kind of a bit, you know, interesting and weird." And it's like, you know, then suddenly when you reach out afterwards, poof, it's gone. The solidarity, the moment of being seduced by us as a community, disappears into the abyss. This is a very violent form of racism. So if we're going to fix it, it has to come from very intense changes, not being active bystanders when we hear racism from people in our lives and from ourselves, but also recognizing that we're not just people on the bottom of the pile living in trailers. That's systematic and historic. And also that we don't have to be the perfect gypsy. I don't have to have a degree to be valid. Someone who's been informally educated on a site and is just doing their day-to-day in manual labor is just as smart and intellectual as I am. The thing that I always come down to is, do you care? Do you actually care? Because I think for a lot of people, they don't. And I think that's just something that we consistently have to kind of micromanage. And also always centering Gorgia people in our work. You know, we're always convincing people that we're people. And it's wild. It's honestly wild. And we never get to the real issues. So I think that's part of fixing it. I'm a bit of a talker. So
No, it's very interesting, and it's interesting to hear. Lisa, what can we do to help?
I think on the most simple level in people's daily work is just allowing space for Romani women's voices to be heard and creating safe spaces where we can have dialogues like this and conversations where people can get to hear from us.
So if you're listening to this and you have a platform and you think, oh, I'd like to platform one or more of these women or other Romani women in my community, you can reach out to guiltyfeminist@gmail.com. But I really wish, like, the BBC and Channel 4 and ITV would have more of these issues on and would fairly and openly platform people. If you work for some kind of mainstream media and you have influence there, could you please consider it? Use that influence. If you're a feminist, use that influence. But if you have a blog, if you have a podcast, if you have something where you think, yeah, I could platform somebody, it's really worth doing. And one thing that we used to have before COVID, and we will have again after COVID, we had a show called Global Pillage, where we had comedians on from different backgrounds. And I don't think we ever had anybody Romani on, and that seems now like to me a massive oversight. And so I would love for one of you to come on when we start Global Pillage again, or more than one of you. Why can't you all come on? So can we keep, my question to my listeners now is, can we keep this rolling? The more times you can platform a Romani woman or a Romani person and in some way or another facilitate her to speak about her ethnicity, but put her humanity before her identity, the more we can do that, the more perceptions will just change. So if you are writing a sitcom right now that's going to be commissioned, can you include a Romani character played by a Romani actor, and can you consult with that actor to make sure that script is truthful? If you are booking a panel show, if you're writing on your blog or whatever, can you find different ways to represent? And can we keep it rolling from this podcast here tonight?
But also, like, to understand that we're also intersectional. Like, for example, as someone who's a lesbian and is also Romani and is also Jewish and is also mixed, like, you know, I'm someone that also comes a lot of privileges, but also a lot of intersectionality. The thing is that a lot of, I find, especially with women as well, is they try and kind of assert the legitimacy of your gypsiness, let's say, based on stereotypes. So, like, for example, people say, oh, I never saw anything gypsy in your house. And it's like, what do you want my mum to be doing? Smoking a cigar, playing the accordion, you know, playing the spoons on her head. And it's like, you know, that's not how it is. And also,
what,
like,
are they looking for, tambourines, or what are they looking for?
Exactly. Like, this is the problem. But then it's also just that there's also issues like LGBT stuff as well. Like, I work for a campaign group which place it, like, it gives immediate aid to travellers or Romani people who are struggling. And the consistent issue is that NGOs made for LGBT issues are not equipped in any way to deal with traveller and Romani people who need immediate help then and there, safe housing, somewhere to go, someone to help them liaise with the council, totally unprepared. We had a young person who had a threat on their life, who was a trans member of the traveller community, and the police misgendered them. The police was completely dismissive of them as also an underage person. And it was us having to do it. We had to do all the work. And it's like, you know, as much as I'm happy to be doing all this, like, I'm also, you know, a queer person myself, where it's a lot to emotionally handle. And it's like, no one's ready for it. At London Pride, we even had, like, you know, gorgeous white gay men asking me to kiss them on the cheek for luck and read their palm. And it's like, I have ownership over my body as a Romani woman and as a queer woman. And it also comes into topics around, like, this idea of the seductive gypsy woman. And what people don't realise is, because they think we're a primitive people and we haven't had this progress, and they try and justify their racism using progressive politics, is they don't understand that the reason for that is when Romani women first came to the UK, people had never seen women who wore clothes that was comfortable for their bodies, already had jobs whilst being married, already had communal raising of children, and also already had the fundamentals of a welfare state. Because, like, if someone else was struggling in your community, then someone else helped. And then people then try and turn it around and say that we're the people that are primitive, we're the people that don't have feminists. And, like, it's something that really bothers me in my own work. But also, just, you constantly have gorgeous people trying to tell you if you're gypsy enough for them, but that never saves you from anti-gypsyism. No matter how much they try and say to you, you're not gypsy enough in my own head, you know, it doesn't save me on the streets of Budapest, it doesn't save me when my mum's working or anything like that. It never saves you. And I think that's something that's quite hard to handle as a community, is this consistent trauma all the time, consistent.
So we need to campaign and make sure we're writing to our MPs, especially if we know we have Romani travellers in our area, in our constituency, to look for more government support and to fight both the violent and the casual bigotry. It's not okay for people at Pride to be coming up and asking for Lucky Heather. Is there anything anyone came to say that they didn't get to say?
Just thank you very much, Deborah, for giving us a platform to be able just to express ourselves and our experiences to a wider audience. So
it's a joy
thank
and
you.
A privilege.
For me, it's just to say to remember that this doesn't start and end with checking in with us three. So just to remember that we need to continue diversifying. It starts at home. You know, make sure that your local councils are being efficient and good with the Romani and traveller community in your area. Engage with the businesses in your local area. Make sure you're buying from travellers and Romani people, standing up for them. It doesn't start and end with us three. We're not the three gypsies of, like, England, unfortunately. So, like, you know, it does have to be more diverse than this.
Just on that, I have one question. I'd, you know, love to support Romani businesses. And you were talking about the clothes being great for an inclusive sizing. And I was like, oh, gosh, I reckon lots of women would want to buy those clothes because they're bright coloured and you're saying they're comfortable and they're inclusive sizing and all of that sort of stuff. But is that, would that be seen as cultural appropriation, or would it depend how you wore it? Would it be good to support a business but not wear it in a way that implied you were Romani if you weren't?
Well, there's a way of buying from Romani businesses that isn't traditional garments that are for us. For example, Zita Moldovan has a whole store that just has, like, a Diclo print, like, you know, zip-up jumper and things like that. Romani Design, also, they're a designer brand who are Romani-owned that have a variety of things that that aren't traditional garments that would be cultural appropriation to wear. So you have a lot of Romani businesses that are owned by Romani people that aren't selling items that would be a taking as opposed to an exchange.
Right. Okay, thank you. It has been such an incredible privilege to have the three of you on, such brilliant, articulate, passionate, creative, glorious women. Thank you so much for coming and educating us. And guilty feminists listening, please, please, please make an effort to get to know Romani people, to get them to know more about the culture and to get them to know more about the structural violence against them, because it's our job as feminists not to look away. Can I also, on behalf of you and Lee, who made that brilliant feminist headdress for me, she's Chinese and she was telling me that Chinese people at the moment are getting a lot of abuse in the street. She's been making masks because she's a headdress maker and she thought, well, I'll start making masks as well. And she's been making PPE and stuff. And she was queuing up to buy some supplies and somebody went, go back to China, China virus, you know, and people have been calling Far Eastern children Wuhan. And there's been lots of absolutely senseless bigotry. And in America, I've seen people are being beaten and killed. I don't know where in the world this is escalating to that point, but it's such mindless bigotry, isn't it? Like, now there's a, you know, what about the fast acting British strain? Is that everybody here's fault? It's a ridiculous thing. It's a virus. So can we please just be vigilant for that? If you see people who look East Asian, can you please just be aware that they may need more of your protection, or for you to step in and be an ally and for kindness and compassion to rise up? I promised you and Lee I'd say that on this week's episode because it's really, really current. And be mindful of all ridiculous, terrible, soul-destroying bigotry. Don't look away. Look towards and step towards. Alison, can I ask, do you have anything to plug?
Just the Wheel of Misfortune podcast, available on BBC Sounds every week. We get amazing guests like Deborah Francis White. And I really love doing it. I love making podcasts.
Do you know, I was asked by The Guardian to recommend the funniest podcast. And I recommended you and they went, no, someone else has already recommended them. You can't have them.
Like, genuinely, it's the best thing out of lockdown. It's been horrible. And I just love doing it with my mate and stuff. So it's such a nice thing. Right. Guys, by the way, it was so much fun chatting to you.
Like, really,
I want to reinstate that. Like, it's all good, God. Like, but it was so much fun and I learned so much. And, like, thank you so much. Like, it was just a lovely way to spend an evening.
Totally.
Just
thank
chatting
you very
to
much.
Great women.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Really, really appreciate it. And I kind of want to say I'm sorry feminism's let you down. But
yeah,
I feel it
you
has.
Can say that.
Yeah, kind
it
of
lets
do
down feel
that.
A lot of people, and that's like why we should aim to do better. No one's perfect.
And can I reiterate? I do think sort of making people central and just making it regular, a regular practice to platform and have Romani women as guests is very, very useful. So if you're listening to this, and I know a lot of media people listen to this, a lot of creators listen to this. So if you want to book any of these women, we will put their details in the show notes, or you can email guiltyfeminist@gmail.com if you'd like an introduction, if you've got something relevant. And can you pay them, please? Don't ask them to do things for free.
Yes.
Because they do lots of stuff. Lots of their activism kind of, I assume, has to be free in some ways because it is sort of provoked by oppression. So if you've got any kind of budget at all, or you can find some, or go and just, you know, pay a man some less or something, that'd be good. just can't try and keep it rolling, because you've heard this and you've gone, oh my God, that's interesting, and I didn't know, and I had no idea, and blah, 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 blah. So the people that you talk to don't know either. So talk to them, share this podcast where you can, tell other people about it, just get it out there a little bit more, and do think about it. If you're someone who publishes books, or if you're somebody who has some kind of platform, even if it's only a Twitter account, but you could start retweeting Romani accounts, that would be something. Mm. You don't have to be running Channel 4. But Ian Katz, if you're listening, it'd be great to have a documentary. Tom's saying cut that out, but I'm saying don't. I've got no bridges to burn with Ian Katz. So Ian Katz, if you're listening, maybe commission some documentaries where Romani artists and filmmakers are in charge of that camera, because I think it would be an interesting retort to what you've got. Right. I think it would be seen as controversial and edgy and all of those things Channel 4 is. I think it would be a great thing to do. So if you work in the docs department of Channel 4, or you are in fact Ian Katz, please consider that. Consider that strongly. And I think you will agree that all of these women would make brilliant artists and documentarians, or maybe even commission something scripted about the Romani population. It's what changes things. Thank you very much. Lolo. Woo! Woo! Lisa. Woo! And incredible Alison Spittle. Woo! And to play us out with a song from her new album, it's Ryanite.
You're so close, I can feel you breathing. Where did you go while you were dreaming? I didn't know that you'd be leaving. I'm full with the thought of you, so full with all of you. Oh, my lover, I'm so hungry for you. And I'm startled by the ache, ravenous in the empty space, still warm from your shape, singing my lament to love, my lament to love, in the vestige of another morning lost for us. These highs, I'd rather feel them all than feel nothing at all and lose you to the salty air, the mellow incense rises with prayer. As night to the dawn, I'm endlessly drawn. Oh, my love, I'm so hungry for you.
You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Francis-White, guest co-host Alison Spittle, and our very special guests Lola Jones and Lisa Smith, with music from Ryan Knight. The Guilty Feminist theme tune was composed by Mark Hodge and produced by Nick Sheldon. The producer was Tom Slinsky for The Spontaneity Shop. Thanks to Rachel Croft and Gina DiCio and everyone who made this episode happen, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com. Woo! Lola, you have a poem for us.
Yes. So I first performed this at Dicana Vista, which means look, don't forget in Romanes. It's a poem of mine that I performed there. I wrote it after I had like a long bath and was kind of thinking about how to portray my feelings. Because like what Raya was saying, we have a very strong oral and ancestral history with like speaking and singing and, you know, poetry especially. And for me, it was a way that I could put across my feelings in a way that also my own family could understand. Because sometimes when I engage in politics, I'm very aware that I use language that the majority of my own family and people that I sit down with at dinner wouldn't understand. And I think it's important to be as inclusive as possible in how we communicate and not making it more exclusive. So I'll read you my poem. It's called God Bless Us All. I spoke to God one evening on a summer's day, my prayers begging for the presence of a soul lost once with skin the colour of earth. A voice that once grumbled, travellers, not gypsies. The sour taste of persecution still ripe on her tongue. My knees bore to the ground for his grace and mercy, pleading forgiveness for the JLM JLM etched into my spine, and the Opre Roma entwining my speech as a lasting connection to a station that the divine now claimed. What had my familiar eyes, carved by centuries of survival, endured? Oppression didn't end in 1945 alongside the gallows of eugenics, echoing a European corridor. It lives on with Becky down the road or Dave up the street, simply feeling uncomfortable at the thought of occupying the same space as the dreaded Pikeys. It's the gorger on Tinder, lamenting how exotic it would be to taste the fruit of tarmac and tambourines. Because that would surely show how rebellious Chad could be to middle-class parents sipping Chardonnay on weekends. I will not be your Esmeralda, for unfortunately your tarot cards read oppressor and not lover. I implore the Lord Almighty to show our reflection in both the waters that provide the essence of existence and on the screens which provide us the empowerment of the day. Because capitalising on our romanticism as folklore is but another addition to not seeing me as a person, as distant from it as Peter Pan, providing nothing but a fantasy experience, a token of accordions and velvet tracksuits to satisfy the assumptions of Wendy Darlings, only to disappear at the vengeance of a real Captain Hook in the absence of fairy dust. My sanctuary is flocking to the bosom of the divine, because as a famous song once said, I thought we all were the children of God, and Lord have I given you my Genesis, only to find my cries as soft as a psalm, against a wave of voices as jagged as the fences that caged us to our fates. I'm sorry, but you can't silence this undesirable with gas or weaponry. I open my eyes and blow out my incense. I unlock my phone. July 2018, Serbia. Parents call for segregation from Romani children in schools. July 2018. A one-year-old Romani baby is shot in the back with a compressed air weapon by police. 21st of July 2018, Slovakia. A Romani man is beaten into a coma, whilst his attackers scream, "We will kill you, gypsy scum." Opre Roma, God bless us all.
Thank you. Lola Jones, everybody. Thank Woo. You so much. That's a very powerful piece. We really appreciate you sharing it.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.